Okay, our scripture today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13 to 20. Before I get into this, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this chance to be in your word together. We ask you, Lord, for your leadership and your guidance to open up our hearts and minds that we may hear what it is that you want us to. Your word, Lord, is full of your grace and full of challenges and encouragements. And pray, Lord, that through this we are able to draw closer to you in some way, be it big or small. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "Well, what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, this is Matthew chapter 16. What we just read is a high point in a very important way in the book of Matthew. It talks about Christ and who Christ is. Now, in theological circles, there is a phrase for the study of Christ. It shouldn't surprise anyone what that is. If you have the study of life, what's that called? Biology, right? Or the study of the earth is called geology. So the study of Christ is called Christology. Really, I mean, pretty straightforward there, study of Christ. Now, there are different levels of Christology. And if you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those Gospels have different levels of Christology, how they talk about Christ and who Christ is. John, the Gospel of John, is said to have a very high Christology. Now, what that means is that John, under no uncertain terms, very, very clearly and very in your face, says that Jesus is the Son of God. Just straightforward like that through the entire book. And not just Jesus is the Son of God, but as the Trinity, Jesus is also God. You know, part of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the very beginning, first chapter, first verse of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning." That's pretty high Christology, a very high look at who Jesus is. The other Gospels have varying degrees of Christology. They all agree that Jesus is the Son of God, but to varying degrees, you know, how much they say it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20, what we just read, this is a very high point of Christology in Matthew. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You can't get more clear than that. This is one of the most clear statements we find in the book of Matthew. Now, what Simon Peter actually saying, what he's actually saying is pretty big and pretty significant stuff. We got to know who the Messiah is. Messiah was prophesied about in the Hebrew Bible. Isaiah has a lot about the Messiah, who the suffering servant is, and what he's going to do, so on and so forth. And what the Messiah, in a nutshell, is going to accomplish is to free Israel. You know, but through that, free the rest of the world, become the Savior, take on the sins of many. Bring peace, all that stuff, wonderful, wonderful stuff that Israel has been waiting for hundreds of years. And for Peter to make a proclamation that Jesus is that person, that Messiah, is akin to trying to make this example as United Methodist friendly as possible. Say that you play the lottery, which isn't United Methodist friendly. So let's make this more United Methodist friendly. Say that you found a lottery ticket on the ground. Right? Say you found a lottery ticket on the ground. You know, I tell you, when the Powerball gets up to like 700 million, I bought a ticket here. I mean, it's 700 million. I mean, so say you find the lottery ticket on the ground, $700 million jackpot, and you find this lottery ticket laying on the ground, and you pick it up, and you proclaim before everyone there, this is the winning Powerball lottery ticket. How are people going to view you? Like you're nuts. Like you're just fooling around. What are the chances that the lottery ticket that you found on the ground is the winning Powerball $700 million lottery ticket? Not very good. Peter's proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah is almost akin to that kind of proclamation. However, the difference is that, well, one, Peter was right. And two, Jesus came with bringing a whole lot of proofs and teachings and shows of power. Peter read the times and, more importantly, listened to God. Jesus said to Peter, you know, you didn't come up with this yourself. God helped you figure out that I am the Messiah and you're right. But we can't just make a statement like that and not expect anything to happen. You see, if I were to find this lottery ticket on the ground and proclaim that this is the winning lottery ticket of the $7 million jackpot, and I believed it with my whole heart, like Peter believed it with his whole heart that Jesus is the Messiah, I'm going to do something about that. I have to make preparations. One, I have to immediately say, just kidding, because I don't want anyone asking me for any money yet. I'm not ready for that. I need to make some financial decisions in life and see a financial guru to help me set up accounts. Proclamation of that degree takes some action in order to back it up. Even more so, Peter's proclamation that Jesus is Messiah. You just can't say Jesus is Messiah and then go about like the world just didn't change in that moment. For Peter's world and the disciples who understood that Jesus is the Messiah, their world changed in that moment. It had to. No longer could they go on living trying to wait for the Messiah, because the Messiah is here. The life had to change. They had to prepare and train in such a way where they can welcome the Messiah into their world. Live in such a way knowing that the Messiah exists and that God's redemption, not only on Israel but on the entire world, is going to take place. And that now they are a part of it. Proclamations aren't merely just words. They also require action. We can say, I am a Christian. But as soon as we do that, it's a declaration that requires action on our part. It requires a need to live it, so that people see what it means to be a Christian. To love Christ with our hearts, with our minds, with all that we are. You say you're a Christian, that's great. Let's show the world what it looks like. Trinity United Methodist Church proposes or professes that it is the church or part of the church, part of the body of Christ. We proclaim that on our sign outside the building. We proclaim that on our letterhead. We proclaim that as we gather on Sunday and worship. And I praise God that we live that. That we live that we are the church, part of the church of Jesus Christ. That we share that love with those who are around us. We bring the hope that Christ has given to us. That we support one another in our need and in our mourning and sorrow. That we support one another in our strength and in our gladness. We rejoice with one another. That when we proclaim that we are the church, as Simon Peter proclaimed that Jesus is the Messiah, our lives changed that moment. And we lived it. Peter's life was never the same. Jesus said, I tell you, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, you will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I pray that when we make a declaration in our life that Jesus is our Lord, that those who know us, those who see us, those who run into us know it. Because we live it. Because we walk it. Because we have hope and faith and trust in God, whom we proclaim as our own. And I thank God for that. And I'm encouraged by a church, this church, who lives that every time I see them. I thank God for that mightily. I leave you and close with this benediction. Remember always that Christ is risen and that Christ is with us. Amen and amen. Go in peace.